All right. Well, happy good morning. Thank you so much for having us here today. We are excited to get the chance to be with you all for your missions conference. I'm Zach Faust. There's my wife, Cassandra. We're going to take this time to preach. If you got your Bible, we're going to go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And I'm excited to be there with you this morning. Romans 12, verse number 1. We're going to talk on the subject of living for Him today. Your reasonable service, living for Jesus today. And that's an exciting thing when you get to thinking about it. Romans 12, verse 1. And I'm going to go ahead and read it for you if you'll follow along with me there in the Bible. I'll read Romans 12, 1, and then we'll jump right into the message. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. God can use anyone who is willing to be used. God can use anyone who is willing to be used. And I am extremely thankful for that, because otherwise I would not be standing behind the pulpit here today. But God can use anyone who is willing to be used. And in these verses here, talking about your reasonable service, we've got the Apostle Paul. And he is writing to the Romans, but he is writing to us. And he says here, he says, I beseech you. He is beseeching, imploring, begging, pleading, if you will, a very specific request. And who is he talking to? He's talking to the brethren. That's you and me. That's those of us who showed up this morning at 10 o'clock for the service. Those of us who are in our place for Sunday morning service. Those of us are the ones that he is talking to when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. We are the brethren, those of us who've been saved. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. What does that mean? That means we do not deserve anything that we've been given. It is by the mercy of God that I've been saved from an eternity in hell. And I am so thankful that Jesus died on the cross so that I could be saved. And that's the reason that I get to be here today. He continues on to say that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A lot of times we'll go to churches, and we've been traveling on deputation now for about 15 months, getting ready to go back to Peru. We're so excited about it. And as we travel, we come to so many churches, and oftentimes people will come up to us at the end of the service, and they say, man, that thing of going to Peru, South America, what a dangerous mission that must be. And it's exciting, I'm sure. I'm sure you're looking forward to it, but isn't it scary? Aren't you worried that you might die or something bad could happen to you? Well, I always tell them, you know, we could die there just as easy as we could die here. In my mind, it don't make that much of a difference, but I'm glad that I get to go. And the truth is that a lot of times people think that maybe God calls you to be a sacrifice. And that's not the truth at all. God says, He says here right there that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oftentimes I wonder, if God called me to be a martyr for Him, would I be ready to die? And I hope and pray that I am. I say that I am. I pray that I am. I try to be ready for that. But that's not exactly what Paul is saying here in this verse. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he's saying here to us, he says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to live for Him every single day. It's a lot harder to live for Him every day than maybe to die one day, because then it's all done and over. But God gives us the opportunity to live for Him, and He calls us all to serve Him. One of the things that amazes me about the disciples that Jesus chose is that none of them jump out as being particularly special. None of them held positions in the synagogue. They didn't have academic degrees. None of them were priests. They didn't hold important positions in the government. Most of them were common laborers, and I'm sure that they were well-learned in their craft. But besides that, and a couple of them that had higher jobs, the majority of them would not have been considered highly educated. And in fact, if you remember in Acts 14, the world called them unlearned and ignorant. Yet Jesus chose these men to be the ones to reach the world. He gave them the power to go out and reach the whole world with the gospel. I love that. And you know what stuck out about them? Well, they were willing to learn, and they were willing to serve Him. And I can say those two things about myself. I'm willing to do it. I may not have everything that somebody else has. I'm sure there's many people in this room that are much more qualified to take the gospel to the world than me. But God called me, and I am so excited and glad that I get to do it. I get to be someone who gets to take the gospel to the world. And when you think about the fact that God wants me, and God wants every one of us to live for Him, and to be a living sacrifice, that can be a little bit scary. And honestly, it should be when you think about the enormity of the task that God has called us to do. But He continues on to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, acceptable unto God. It is our job to come ready to serve Him. Be the one that is holy and ready and acceptable to Him. And then He says, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. As a vile sinner who's condemned to hell but been saved by the blood of Jesus, how could I not want to serve Him? Jesus died for me. I want to live my life for Christ because it is the very least that I can do. My favorite song of all time is Come Thou Fount. I love that song a lot. We sing it all the time, and whenever we go to church, the one nice thing about traveling a deputation is you go from church to church. Sometimes you can sing the same song twice in the same day. You ain't gonna even know it, but I love it. It's a great thing. I love that song. My favorite part is the third verse, where the songwriter says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I am a debtor to the grace of God. I owe him my all. I've got to take the next step and decide I am going to live for him today. I'm going to live my life for Christ because it is my reasonable service. After everything that Jesus died for me, how could I not want to live for him?" Oftentimes we pray for God's blessing, but taking that next step is always the hard part. I love in Romans 8:28 where the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You see, I saw recently that there was a celebrity that got this tattooed on their arm, and they put it on their social media bio. They said, "All things work together for good, Romans 8:28. And I know I've seen some of the things in the news that that person's been doing. It's not really that good. And I got to scratching my head and thinking, what in the world? Did they not read the rest of the verse? Because the Bible says a lot more there. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Man, you know, I am saved. God has saved me from an eternity in hell. It should be my desire to live according to his purpose. If you are saved today and you came to church this morning, you are the called according to his purpose. God has given you a special promise that says all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is there a fire that burns inside you that says, "God, I've got to do your will today. The very least that I can do is live my life for you after everything you've done for me." Take that next step in faith. Say, "God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you." One of my favorite verses, it's hard to say it's my favorite, but we use it for our motto as we travel on deputation, and we present it on all of our mission things. It says Acts 1:8. And most missionaries, you'll see, if you ever go to a missions conference, it's hard to get through on without hearing Acts 1:8. That is one of the main verses, that and here in the Great Commission. But I love where it says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And God has called all of us to take the gospel, every single one of us. And no matter where God places you in this life, he wants you to take the gospel there. He wants you to be a faithful witness for him wherever he puts you. And God has given us the power to complete what he asks us to do. That's the best part. God didn't send us out the door and give us a little kick in the behind and said, "All right, go have fun and get it done, and then I'll come back and check on you." He said, "But ye shall receive power." God sent his Holy Spirit with us from the moment that you got saved. You now have the power to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. I love thinking about that. And whenever it comes into my mind, it warms my heart because it reminds me, no matter where I am in the day, that God has given me the power today to complete what he wants me to do. And I can take that next step for him, no matter the circumstances that come into my life. And sometimes they can be crazy, let me tell you. But I know that at the end of the day, I've got God's power with me to do whatever it is that he has called me to do. Now, Cassandra and I, my wife here, we believe that we are physically called to the uttermost part of the earth. Many times, we are all called to preach the gospel, and we are all called to complete the whole Great Commission. That's right in there, and that's given to every single one of us. And if you don't hear the call, remember the command. God commanded us all to take the gospel. But if you think about it, I look at that, and we get to go to the uttermost part of the earth. One of the most exciting things about being a missionary to Peru is all the different places that we get to go. We get to see some exciting things. I went to the Peru for the first time when I was 14 years old, turning 15, and I got to be there for almost 4 years, 3.5 till I graduated high school. My parents are missionaries there, and they've been there for 10 years now, and it's an exciting thing. But I remember the very first time that we took a trip into the jungle. We got to go visit brand new villages that had never heard the gospel before. Now it's something that we do on a regular basis, and I'm a little more used to it. But we came to this village, and we had taken over a 10-hour boat ride down the Amazon River to get to this village. And we had gone to this remote area. We had a national pastor that we had trained and worked with who was coming with us to reach the new villages. And he would go down a week ahead of time, and he would call out. He had a bullhorn. He would call out from his little boat, and he would say, "The missionaries are coming. They're going to be here in 1 week. Get ready to go." And so people would come, and they'd know that we would be there. We have a water purification system that we can bring them to give them clean water in their village. And they would come out and they would hear us preach. And every time, many, many people would get saved. And I remember that on the end of this one particular village, we had gone many, many hours down the river. These folks got saved, and I got to talking to the leader of the village at the end of the time that we were there. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. He said, the name of our village, we call it the last village on earth. Or in Spanish, el último pueblo en la tierra. He said, that's the name of our village. That's the last village on earth. And I was like, why would you call it that? That's an odd name for a village. And if you're going to write it, I'm sure it would take a long time to write that out. Of course, they're very primitive. They didn't have electricity there. And everybody sleeps in hammocks. They don't have walls in their huts. And they're very, very way out in the jungle. He said, well, the reason why we called it that is because we are the last village down this tributary of the Amazon River. He said, there is nothing out past this. You can keep going if you want, but there's nothing more out there. And I said, oh, all right. And I thought to myself, I made it. I'm in the uttermost part of the earth. This is a real place. I didn't know it actually existed, but here it is, right? And it's an exciting thing to see. But when I think about the fact that I get the chance to do that, and I get to be there, I actually get to physically go, what an amazing blessing it is. And that's all because of what God can do. You know, the truth is that a sinner saved by grace, by the mercies of God, can please Him. It's true. You can please, and it's amazing, but it's very true. And I can't tell you that I please God with every aspect of my life. I fail Him every day. I wish that I didn't. And if you're honest, you say that you will too. But man, I do my best to do what God has me to do. And God has a plan for your life. Maybe you've been serving the Lord faithfully in the same spot for many, many years. Maybe you've been here in this church and you teach a Sunday school class and you've been involved in another way. You sweep the floor, you mop the floor, whatever it is that you do, maybe God has brought you and that's what God has for your life. And if that's what you have to do, that's amazing. I'm so thankful for that. That means the world to me. The truth is, I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for faithful folks who serve the Lord day in and day out, over and over for many years. I can think back to all my teachers growing up, my Sunday school teachers, my junior church teachers, and those who took time to invest in me. My wife could say the same thing. Many years ago, a bus captain from our Bible college was out knocking doors on a Saturday, inviting people to come to church. This would have been in the 1970s, and he was out inviting people to come to church and looking for new people to ride his bus, and he had special promotions. He would go out and he told them, everybody who rides the bus on Sunday is going to get their very own goldfish. And so people would get excited about that. If enough people came on the bus, he would swallow the goldfish, all right? And so the people got all excited and pumped up about that, and especially the little kids, if you can imagine. And he would do different promotions on different days. And one day, he went and knocked on a door of a family there. He invited them to come to church. And there was a little girl named Maria who was there. And she thought maybe she might come to church, but she wasn't sure what she was going to do. She decided to wait it out. And eventually, he came by and he advertised for birthday Sunday. If you came to church on Sunday, everybody was going to celebrate their birthday. We have all the birthdays on one day. You get a little party hat, you get some cake and ice cream. And we're going to have a wonderful time. So she decided she was going to come. And she rode that bus, and she came over and over again. Every single Sunday, she rode that bus for many, many years. He kept going by and inviting. He never stopped. He never gave up on her, but he kept, even when she didn't want to come, he went by and visited her and made sure she came to church. She got saved because of that, and she ended up getting involved in the youth group there. She grew up, and she got married to another man who came to Bible college there, and they got involved in church. They had a whole bunch of kids. One of them turned out to be my wife. And I'm very thankful for that, because had it not been for that man's faithfulness, there's a very good chance that I would not be a missionary here today. But because of that, now I get to be married to my beautiful wife, and we get to serve the Lord. Whatever God has called you to do, in whatever place He has you, decide that you are going to be a faithful witness for Him today. Don't give up on it. Don't let go. Don't stop. Don't back down just because the difficulties come, and they will, I can tell you that. But when the time comes, decide, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to stay faithful to it. No matter where God calls me, whether I get the chance to serve the Lord on the mission field or I get to serve the Lord here, wherever God has you, be faithful to Him. I'll leave you with this verse, and it's another one of my favorites. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Thank you very much, Pastor.